Hello, good morning, everyone. I guess my voice is loud enough that can be heard right till the back of the room, because I know being the last speaker is, sometimes it's challenging, which is good. That's fine. First of all, thanks, Joya, for having us over here and to share our experiences, the practicalities, what we have achieved up till now. My colleague Esther, she just presented the global achievements what we have, and since I'm the North American representative, I'll go ahead with the North American updates. We heard a lot of things since morning today about all the different light qualities and everything, so I don't want to go in there, and my best bet would be to just keep you all in here to go jump straight into the practical applications what we have done. So there we go. Okay, so city farming, that's a very upcoming, a very hot topic, I should say, right now. And as you see the picture in there, and it says Green Sense Farms, right away it rings a bell to most of us. We have read about it on the internet or in the papers, a lot of publicity. And that's the city farming is a very hot commodity at present. What happens in city farm is we try to grow it in a closed environment whereby most of the things are under control, and it is usually a vertical farming, what we call it as. The crops that we usually grow in there at present, not limited to, are leafy greens, microgreens, lettuce and herbs. That's what usually the growers would start with, just because there's a lot of information being developed for these crops right now. However, it's not limited. Again, I'm saying it can have its, you can extend it to other crops. Quality of light it plays an important role. What I would talk about here is regarding what we have is the deep red, blue, white, and far red. So a different combination of whether it is a deep red and blue or with the far red. In light intensities, they would range from 100 micromoles to up to 200 or even 250 micromoles, depending on the crop type and what result we want to achieve. The duration, again, is very flexible. Now, all these factors, why I'm mentioning that is all these can be modeled or manipulated. Not a good word, however, that's what it is. According to the needs of the grower, or the needs of the person who is running the city farm, and based on their marketing channel, their cycles. So depending on that, all these factors can be modulated or manipulated in order to achieve the desired results. The benefits what we have observed is the better assimilation and conversion of light. Now, again, okay, what did we compare it to? It's with the fluorescent. So all this comparison is done with or against the fluorescent light. X factor, yeah, better yield, color, and taste. For the taste, we usually like to have an organoleptic taste. But it is not scientifically done. It is mostly like in the place where the trials are done, or we will have the crew who is working there. We'll not tell them which one is grown under fluorescent, which one is grown under LEDs. We ask them to taste both and give their vote which one tastes best. So this is just it's a very crude method of doing it, but it is more of a commercial application, more practicality, what people would choose, and that's what we are trying to look at. Important to align and optimize the light, including other environmental factors, absolutely. I'll come back to that in my last slide again. Possibility of research in these areas, and that's because I'm opening this up because we have a lot of faculties here from different universities, and absolutely we need to do a lot of research in this area because this is again a hot commodity, a hot item, and we see a lot of interest going forward. Some examples. So that's where finding the light recipes, that's where I think I should encourage most of our academias or whoever here are in the room, and those even who are not here. That's where finding the light recipe, that's just first, let us take one factor, because there are a lot of factors affecting the growth of the plant, but somewhere, we have to start somewhere. So keep everything else constant. Focus on one factor first. Optimizing the growth recipe, that's the next part. And that's where we start playing with the other factors. That, okay, once the light is, we have come to some understanding that, okay, this is how much micromoles of light we would need, or the quality of light, or the duration of light. Then let's start playing with, again, playing is not a good word, sorry. But I like to be much more grower-friendly, and they like to hear that. So that's where we can optimize the growth recipe, and then you can go on the commercial scale. So this is the typical pattern that we would follow. Some of the examples that I would like to share with you is, just as you can see the difference in the quality of light over here, with deep red, blue, far red, the results that we achieved in productivity in grams per watt was 2 times higher than the fluorescent. So just to give you a snapshot of what the quality of light, how can it affect. The same thing with spinach, where it was just the deep red blue or deep red white which gave us the best results. With larger leaf and bigger plants, not so much with the far red. Okay, so that was all about city farming. Now we move to the flowering lamps. I guess Eric Runkle would be talking in the afternoon today, and earlier Roberto Lopez already talked about that. So I won't go into detail about that. I would like to say that 3 different versions that are available, and usually it is more for the photoperiodic lighting, like the night interruption or day length extension applications. And we have seen pretty good results with that. Now, that's with the flowering lamps. The other way of doing the photoperiodic lighting is also boom lighting. This is a new concept whereby we are trying to use the LEDs. And the LEDs being pretty much directional, as you can see over here. Since they are pretty much directional, it is much easier to control them, even in a longer bay, whereby if the grower wants to avoid certain plants in certain bays, he can time the lights so that it goes off and it comes back after, so they can actually avoid and design it as per their requirements. So now this is again coming back to the research that was done at Michigan State University by Dr. Royal Hines about 30 seconds every 5 minutes. That's what's the impulse that the plant would need in order to make, in order to keep itself active, that it is getting a long day. So in order to make that happen, it should get an impulse of light 30 seconds every 5 minutes. And this is what we use in our applications in doing the different trials that we do with the growers. We not only get the energy savings and the uniformity, but we have seen much better growth or response of the plants, in some cases early flowering. In other cases, in mother plants where we applied these lighting as a supplemental lighting, we have seen that if you take the cuttings from those mother plants, we would get much better rooting and earlier rooting, up to 5 to 7 days earlier rooting, which is substantial for a bedding plant grower where the whole cycle itself is like 10 weeks, 10 to 12 weeks. And reducing 1 week is huge for that grower. The other application which Roberto Lopez already talked about it, the propagation room, which we are doing at Purdue University, but also the commercial application was at Bailey's Nurseries. It's a case study that's available on our website, philips.com/horti, and you're free to read and contact the person as well. Well, the benefits of, we already talked about that just briefly, it's a controlled environment, so yeah. More important, just not going into all the things that are all listed over here, more important is from the physiologist, but being a physiologist, it really excites me that it's a really a small chamber. We can have a control over temperature, humidity, the growth of the plants is good, but more important is you can increase the concentration of CO2, which certainly helps in the growth of the plants or the slugs. That is really substantial, which is not easily achievable in a bigger greenhouse. So that's where I think it is in a smaller area, in a confined area, it's much better to control a lot of different factors. Plant tissue culture. So that's another area where there's a lot of application, because most of the tissue culture labs, they have the fluorescent tubes right now, and they generate a lot of heat. That's one thing. Another thing is the lifespan of the fluorescent tubes is it's not so good compared to the LEDs. We have two different applications, as you see in the picture. The one is the direct replacement for the fluorescent, that is called a TLED, and also we have the production module, which can be used for the tissue culture applications. And we have seen really good results. And what we try to do is not just replace them or just take off the fluorescent and replace them with TLEDs. No, that can be done. That can easily be done. But I would like to have EJ, who is from Sierra Gold Nurseries, and we work with them. Now, the way we work is we would ask, he's the lab in charge, and we would ask the person in charge, okay, what is that you want to achieve? So based on that, we try to tailor around the requirement of the customer, which is very important for the practical applications, not from the research point of view, but definitely from the practical applications. So what we achieved is a higher multiplication rate, better rooting quality, improved stretching process, speeding up the hardening phase. So it's not just in the establishment of the multiplication stage, but these can be applied in the acclimatization and hardening, which is a very important phase in tissue culture applications. So with the TLEDs, you can directly replace, and there's electrical savings and savings on cooling. So that is definitely one thing that you can achieve straight with the TLEDs or with the use of production modules. For the university, I think we already spoke about that, and I don't want to go into much detail about that in lieu of time. Roberto Lopez and Eric Runkel, we are working with them already, and they will be saying it in their talks too. So I would leave it up to them. So that's where I wanted to share this slide, that for the recipe development, so what we call it as light being one of the factors, and it's not just the light, but it's the light quality, intensity, duration. These are the other things that need to be considered just for the light itself, and then the growing systems. The growing system also plays a lot of important role in how the plant would react to that particular light intensity or light quality. Nutrition management, absolutely. We saw in one of the previous speakers how we have seen the increase in the potassium percentage or calcium concentration. So if the plant is uptaking that from the media, you have to replenish the media that much more in order for the plant to keep continuing the normal growth. So that's why it is very important to focus on all these different aspects. Absolutely with the temperature, we know how the plant metabolism changes with the temperature and the humidity. So CO2 levels, and important is the desired quality of end product. So for us as a commercial, and for many other companies over here who are in the commercial products, it is absolutely important for us as a group, as all of us, that we focus on the desired quality of the end product. It is different from person to person, from one grower to other grower, and depending on that, we need to model how the plant is going to behave to all these different factors. So with that, I think I will end my talk here, and thank you very much for listening to me and giving me the opportunity.